Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Good morning, everyone. How are we? It is a beautiful day. And I cycled here from home. We were doing, I was saying to Carol about the chicken pox and the grain. I spoke at St. Nicholas this morning, but I had two of my three children with me. And then John came to pick me up, and then we were working out what was the best in terms of logistics between getting them home and then getting me back here. So we resolved that I would cycle here, and I arrived quite a sweaty mess. So you'll have to forgive me, I have hat hair. But I'm sure you're very gracious with me and you don't mind. I said when I spoke last time that I always wanted Mike to do the readings before I spoke, and I'm really thankful that that has been taken note, and it was read beautifully, so I'm very thankful. I wanted to talk a bit about the end of times. Something just came to me. It's quite an easy subject to do on a Sunday mid-year. I was doing just some preparation. Max, when he writes out the rota of who's going to be a speaker, just puts a little bit of a theme on the top. And this theme is Matthew Moore Farming, which wasn't necessarily a lot to go with. But that was fine, that was fine. And I think this study in Matthew that we've all been collectively doing as a church has been a really, really wonderful time, and especially if you're involved in it. You know, if you come every kind of week and you don't necessarily kind of see the lineage, as it were, you're not taking away from it what you should be in terms of it all feeding into one another and it all becoming this marvellous tapestry that kind of really comes to life in front of your eyes. And I just wanted to do a super duper quick recap. And you'll have to forgive me, because I presume everyone's been doing the double. Is that right? Am I going to say something and people are going to look? So Polly, when she spoke, I think around about a month ago, she challenged us all about how we're sharing the gospel. And then Peter did a beautiful anointing with the oil on Pentecost, encouraging us all to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. And then Emily did a wonderful, wonderful talk about the Holy Trinity, which is obviously, again, quite a simple tick in the box. That's something is, you know, you wrestle with your whole life, you know, that kind of relationship of the Trinity. And then last week, Max challenged us all to kind of raise the bar in terms of taking ownership of our own discipleship and our own discipleship journey, using that kind of parable of the sower. So this week, I felt like I was kind of on the shoulders of giants, so I thought I would continue with this high caliber talk and talk about eschatology. Now I'm new to speaking in church, and maybe I haven't paid a lot of attention before because I always tend to be distracted by little people, but I'm incredibly impressed with the gifts that our church has in its speakers. I think for me this is a real gift that God's given our church, and I think it's something we should be really thankful for. And by no means am I presuming that I'm in that same caliber, but what a wonderful opportunity to speak about such exciting concepts of Christianity. And these aren't concepts that are easily solved. You know, these are concepts that you spend your life considering. And I noticed in the pew sheet, you know, we have that challenge to raise any kind of issues you want spoken about, and to raise those with Max. And I think Max is really, really open to that idea of kind of, you know, talking about issues that are being laid on your hearts. So on first reading of Matthew that Max read earlier, I thought I would do an analogy of a mustard seed and a large tree. I thought I'd do an analogy of a kind of a unleavened versus leavened with the yeast. That was quite a kind of, you know, when we're talking about that kind of the passage that Matthew was talking about kind of the kingdom of heaven. But actually, I've also been reading a devotional series that links the Old Testament books to the New Testament. And one linkage that it made from Leviticus was fast forward to 1 Peter, which is the passage that Mike read again so beautifully. And I thought that was nice. I thought, oh yeah, that's really nice. And it's our preacher's privilege to kind of put forward a second reading. So I thought, oh, I'll put that one forward. I really like that one. But I hadn't necessarily really looked at the two passages together. But I did this week. And actually the kind of the correlation between the two is really very significant. And it's not significant in terms of the yeast, and it's not necessarily significant in terms of the mustard seed. It's significant in terms of the harvest. And that's the second part that the passage of Matthew talks about. It talks about the end of time's harvest. So what I wanted to do is to really kind of draw that connection out between those two passages. And I've got two of the verses here. The first one's from Matthew, and it says, "The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." And then from 1 Peter, a passage says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sakes." What have you thought about the end of the world? This is a collective question. I'm sure you've thought much more about the end of the world in the last year than you perhaps ever have done in your whole entire life. Have you, and do you, pray for Christ's return? How often do you feel a foreigner in this life? And do you know that you will only truly be made whole in heaven? In the passage of 1 Peter, do you live your life as a stranger? Are you a stranger in your own life? And these are really kind of questions, again, that we're wrestling with. And I have two responses to that. The first is, holy, holy, holy. And the second is that passage first heard in Leviticus and then repeated in 1 Peter. Be holy because I am holy. The balance between knowing and believing as children of God, we are heaven bound, versus our challenge to prepare our minds for action and to be self-controlled, being holy in all we do, is a paradox. We have the victory because of Christ, but we're challenged to be holy with action. Jesus is coming, look busy. That's the challenge, isn't it? Jesus is coming, look busy. Eschatology is the part of theology concerned with death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul and of humankind. And a quote that I found, "Christian hope is concerned with eschatology." I think, gosh, that's heavy stuff, isn't it? Our whole hope is wrapped up in the end of times. But actually, our hope is in Christ's second coming. Our hope is in the last harvest and in us as righteous harvesters, as holy. Be holy because I am holy. And this ties in really with Max's talk last week about the parable of the sower. You know, where is this seed falling in our own lives? How committed are we to the message of the gospel? How fertile are we making our lives to receive the message of the kingdom of God? I've put kingdom of God because that's something that rolls off the tongue, but the passage isn't kingdom of God. The passage is kingdom of heaven. And that's something that I've noticed this week, that subtle difference. I often view my own faith journey as similar to that of an onion. Infinite layers further deepening into the heart. And I think a lot of people would recognise that. You know, at your start of your journey of Christianity, you're very much on the outside of that onion. And then you peel the layers off and you get closer and closer to that core of the onion. But in our own Christian faith journey, the layers are infinite. You know, I was sure that the Archbishop of Canterbury, you would think, oh, what a holy man. But his layers are still infinite in comparison to God. We can't compare our own faith with anybody who sat next to us. It's our own faith journey. I think that was really clear to me in Max's talk last week. We've got to make that decision about our own discipleship. We can't look at the person next to us and say, well, definitely holier than them. No, that doesn't work. This is your onion and you're working through your own layers. And perhaps the deepest layer is this sentence within 1 Peter 1. Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. But wow, what does that mean? And I think really what that means is that there's a wrestle within us. We are the harvesters in the ultimate harvest that was spoken about in Matthew, but the victory is ours already. And within Peter, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Christ. Peter is saying we are all what we all know, but potentially frequently forget. We can't earn our place. We can't buy our place. And so, with our victory in our hands, we wait until the end of time. But we're not called to be passive. We are called to prepare our minds for action. We are to be holy. We are to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And the onion gets deeper. We wait for Christ's second coming, assured of the victory. We will fully hope for the end of days. We will hope for the end of days to be made perfect in front of our Saviour. And the onion goes deeper. Do not worry. We realise our lives weren't fulfilled and won't be fulfilled until heaven. We will never be fulfilled until heaven. We will always have our worries and anxieties. We're not supposed to be happy here. We're supposed to have unrest. We're supposed to be foreigners in our own bodies. We're supposed to be strangers living in reverent fear. Because actually, we haven't made it to heaven yet. So those worries that we wrestle with daily, they're not something we can get rid of. So actually, we should stop trying. We shouldn't worry about our worries, and we shouldn't worry about getting rid of them. We will always have them, always have our anxieties. So we choose to ignore them, because they don't add another day to our lives. We put down our anxieties and we choose to worship. I used to work for the Salvation Army. I worked for the Salvation Army for 12 years and it was a wonderful, wonderful place to work. I now work for the Office for National Statistics, which I would say is probably the antithesis from one organisation to the other. But in the Salvation Army, they had a real bold claim that said, we are born to worship. That's what we're born to do. And I love that because what that does in my own head is it removes all this guff that gets in the way, you know, tussling between to and fro and busy days, you know, and tasks to do, and things to achieve and people to make happy. And da, da, da. Well, actually, no, I was born to worship. Everything after that, fine. But fundamentally, I was born to worship. And in 1 Peter, really clearly, we have received grace through the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He takes our worries. I'm going to go further into that onion. I'm going to talk more about the end of times. And so the onion goes deeper. Christ was revealed in these last times for our sake. So that's a passage within 1 Peter. And again, Mike read it beautifully. Christ was revealed in these last times for our sake. And when was that written? That was written thousands of years ago. But he says these times, and we're in these times now. Jesus is coming. Look busy. To be fulfilled, there must be the harvest. Sin is to be weeded out. Be holy, because I am holy. The end of times, the rapture, is something that gets very interesting and very confusing very quickly. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But in our faith journey, let us go deeper into the heart of things. Let us realise that these lives should be a bit foreign to us, because we won't truly be fulfilled until we are in heaven. In the meantime, don't worry or be anxious, but be holy, as God our Saviour has asked us to be, and as God our Saviour is.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Fellowship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bidhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.